One of the things, you've got a lot of projects that are going on at A&M right now. Let's talk first of all about the project that you have with the Mary Crawley Cancer Research Center, so that you can establish some treatment centers here having to do with our medical corridor. This is pretty exciting stuff.
It really is. What we're trying to do here is build a major focus in biotechnology and biopharmaceutical development. And we're going to focus on where A&M has really been traditionally great, and that is in engineering and veterinary medicine and in agriculture. And that builds a big piece right in the middle. That's the testing of vaccines, the manufacture of vaccines. But right after that's done, you've got to get them into humans first. And the Mary Crawley Cancer Research Centers, in my opinion, is the best place internationally. It's run as a charity, and it takes drugs and vaccines that are right ready to get them in humans and actually put them in humans. And they've done that over 140 times in the past few years, and that's a track record that I've never seen anywhere. And they're coming right here on the campus of the Health Science Center to be that clinical link piece, so we can get vaccines and drugs out of the laboratory and actually into humans where they could potentially do good.
So, in other words, this will be the place where, as you say, this will actually be human research, then research on humans that could be cutting edge toward cures for different kinds of cancer in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the major goals we have is to accelerate the development of new vaccines and drugs for people who need them. In my former life, I was a clinician and ran a children's hospital. And really, I think I understand the burden of disease and the opportunities we have to fix it. But we can't be locked in the paradigm where it takes 17 years and $2 billion for every new drug that comes about. And what we're trying to do here at A&M is really break that paradigm. You can't get out of this paradigm by doing the things the same way you've done them all the time, and we're going to do them differently. In the way we test new drugs for their effectiveness before they get to humans, very importantly in the way they're manufactured, and I think we all know the importance of that after the H1N1 outbreak this year. And then ultimately, it's got to get into humans. And that first step into humans is what Mary Crawley actually brings to us and to our community.
But then the FDA has to approve it. How do these things that are going on here, how will that fast track it as far as the FDA side?
Well, first of all, we hope to take that 17 years of development and dramatically shorten that. Secondly, by some of the innovations we have, we hope to populate the pipeline much better, so that instead of one or two drugs at a time, we can have multiple dozens of different products coming through the pipeline, so we have more opportunities for drugs and vaccines to get approved. But ultimately, the FDA must approve them. We are also, in addition to those things that I talked about, we're also doing new things in terms of quality and safety that we think will make the FDA a lot happier with the way drugs are produced and tested.
Dr. Brett Gawa is here. He's the Vice Chancellor for Research at A&M. Talk a little bit about GreenVax. Chad Edwards had told us about that. I think the day that story happened to break in the Wall Street Journal, it was a big story. It's big news for A&M.
I think it's a huge story, and it's a big story not just for A&M, but it's a big story for the country and for the world. Right now, we make flu vaccines in chicken eggs. Can you imagine? It takes 1 to 9 chicken eggs, fertilized chicken eggs, that have to be inoculated with influenza. And that influenza needs to grow in that embryo, and then we have to purify it. So 1 to 9 chicken eggs to make a single dose of vaccine. And it takes months and months and months. And as you know, the H1N1, we didn't have enough vaccine when we needed it, and we had a lot after the epidemic had gotten through the population. And if the mortality rate would have been higher, it could have been a real disaster for the United States. What GreenVax does is a completely new technology. We're going to make pandemic flu vaccines. We're going to demonstrate this. This is a large R&D project. Make pandemic flu vaccines in tobacco plants, we will be able to make 100 million doses per month in this facility, and we can completely change what strain we go against. Like if the new H1 came or H5, we could change it completely around within a 3-week time period. And that is earth-shaking in terms of vaccine manufacture and development for the country and for the world. And we think we could do it at about a tenth of the cost.
Well, because it was a crapshoot, right? They would figure as to what the vaccine needed to be.
Right, and there's still going to be a lot of figuring, hopefully better than my estimates about what Harvard won in 1982. There will still be a lot of figuring, but right now we can't figure nature. Nature is much too robust and evolutionary, and will always throw things at us that we don't expect, whether that's SARS or whether it's AIDS from the 1980s, or whether it's a new pandemic flu strain. And of course, in today's world, we have to be worried not only about the natural threat, but the intentional threat There are adversaries who wish to do us harm in the United States, and biology is now everywhere, and there are intentional threats that we will need to deal with.
Now, and you're growing them in tobacco plants. Why tobacco plants, and how did you discover that that would be the best agent for this?
Well, we know a lot about tobacco for a lot of reasons, and tobacco plants are very, very hardy plants. They grow indoors. These will all be indoors, hydroponic, grown under fluorescent lights. And they have one characteristic that's very interesting, is that their leaves can make a lot of protein that is not normally tobacco protein, and the tobacco plants are very happy with it. So we could program the tobacco plants to make the vaccine proteins we want, and the tobacco plants are very happy with that. And then we harvest them and purify the protein much like any other vaccine. But instead of making it in fertilized chicken embryos, we make it in tobacco plants, which are much simpler, much less expensive, and gives us a capability that we would never otherwise have.
I know that you went over to Austin and you testified before the House committee over there, having to do with the idea that we need to keep the development here in Texas. And I think your words, to develop a third coast, if you will, for development, a lot of this research has gone to the East and West Coast. Was it ever in Texas and it's gravitated to there, or are we just trying to bring that sort of research into Texas?
We're really trying to bring it into Texas. It's been a paradox for a while in that we in Texas lead the country, or one of the top three, in basic biomedical research, and clearly we have some of the best clinical medical centers in the world. Just go up the road and you've got the Texas Medical Center. But this is the home of no major biopharmaceutical companies, and most of the drugs that we develop here, we never get the benefit from. It goes to the East or West Coast, and we believe strongly that that's because we lack the infrastructure to bring it through the development pipeline. So there's an absolute roadblock there between basic research and clinical testing, and that roadblock is all about engineering, veterinary medicine, agriculture, and that's why it's so natural to be at A&M. We are filling that part of the pipeline, and it's going to have astronomical effects economically and research-wise for Texas as a whole.
And how does this impact, from your view, Bryan College Station, the economy, and what it'll mean to us in the future as a community?
I think the benefits are going to be really remarkable. The GreenVax project in and of itself, just think about it, it will be the most capable vaccine manufacturing facility in the entire world. Right here, and it could make up to 1 billion doses of vaccine per year. That in itself is transformative, with potentially thousands of jobs and actually billions of dollars in revenue just based on that. But the most important aspect is you've got to achieve a critical mass. And I think we're right at the point of achieving a critical mass, where we have the Texas Institute for Preclinical Studies for Genomic Medicine, the National Center for Therapeutics Manufacturing. The H1N1 GreenVax facility represented a $40 million award from the federal government. And I think now we've got a critical mass that we're going to see more and more companies. I'm meeting with companies every day who are interested in moving here to access our faculty, very importantly, our students. A key to any company is to have a workforce built in who have all the characteristics of an A&M student. They're bright, they're well-schooled, and they're very spirited and dedicated to service, and people want that.
We've only really scratched the surface. There's so much. What I would like, one last thing I'd like to ask you about, having to do with the H1N1. As you mentioned, we didn't have the vaccine when we needed. Now we've got too much. We had a story last week. I mean, you can't use this anymore. It's going to basically expire. So how do you balance the idea that there's a possibility of a pandemic out there without doing a chicken little thing? And so how do you get the public rightly understanding what the possible threat could be so that you have an optimal number of doses that get distributed?
Well, there's two parts of that, and of course it's all about communication. And we need to do our best to communicate with the public, and we need to tell the public what we know and also what we don't know. And the reality is there is some uncertainty in the process because Mother Nature is hard to predict. The other side of it is we want to be able to create the infrastructure and technologies so that we can make vaccines easily, very cheaply, very easily, very fast. So if we miss, we haven't lost the entire war. All we've done is just have a little vaccine that really doesn't matter, but we haven't bet the entire farm on a single product. And the GreenVax facility, as well as the NCTM, gives us the opportunity to hedge our bets. We could make multiple vaccines at the same time in very large quantities to make sure that whatever Mother Nature does throw at us that year, we're prepared for it.
This will be up and running in
Green Vax in 12 months.
Wow. Wow. Outstanding stuff. We could talk about a lot of other things. I'm out of time for right now. I really appreciate you coming in this morning so we could talk about it a little bit.
My pleasure.
You bet. Dr. Brett Grewal, he is the Vice Chancellor of Research at Texas A&M for the System.